Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello, and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few minutes to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host because I believe in the power of positive thoughts, and I've witnessed the strength that comes from focus on the possibility. The more I invest on the positive, the more I grow up the courage to be all that I know that I'm designed to be. But the more that I recognize that I can, the more I'm realizing that I won't if I don't change. And change can be a nasty word for some people to face down. Me, on some days, more than others. But I will never reach all of my goals and dreams if I stay in the same spot. The same spot of my being, and even the same spot throughout my day. Because I do better when I mix things up, most of the time. When I take my office on the go, or when I juggle the menu a little, or when I encourage a spontaneous trip or gathering, because I like things to be different. It's one of the reasons that I enjoyed planning social activities while I was in college, because each event would be different, and most of the time the people that attended the events would be different as well. The changes kept me excited about the job and also kept me motivated in my pursuit of more. Minor changes are a great stimulation for me, but not for everyone around me, it turns out. It seems my husband's not so keen on the little changes that I like to pursue. My husband became fearful about leaving the house for an extended period of time because he knew that he had no idea what he was going to come home to when he did finally come home. Sometimes it was just a little change, a minor change, like moving the garbage can to a new location, which turns out is a bigger change than I realized when I moved it because it had been in the same location for almost 2 decades. And that was one of those changes that I ended up changing back because none of us could get used to it. But he's also come home to find all of the rooms completely rearranged. Moving the living room to the dining room and the dining room to the living room. And boy, was he thrilled with that move. That's okay. It's okay that he wasn't thrilled because the little changes gave me a new focus that I hadn't had before. And it turns out that we could utilize the spaces even more with the new setup. Sometimes I have to live with the change a little before I know if it's really going to work for my life and for the life of my family. Those are the external changes. It's the internal changes that I struggle with more than not. I have tried to step out in my different to see if it'll work and to see how it works within my life, but I don't always like stepping out into change. I find that sometimes change for me, it'll fit just like a glove. It's perfect. It's exactly what I needed. And sometimes the change fits more like a dress that's 2 sizes too small. And because of those uncomfortable changes, I don't always want to face change or try change. And sometimes the change is so far off the wall that it doesn't even fit on me. It falls right off. So I just have to walk away from it. But I'm learning that until I step out into the change, I never know how the change will or will not work for my life. I grow up change for my life when I take a few steps into that change. First, I have to take off the mask. I have to stop pretending that I am somewhere that I'm not. Second, I have to choose the direction that I want to go because I'm not where I want to be simply because I haven't been moving in the direction that I need to be going. Third, I have to put my attention on the right place. The only way that I can walk on water is to have a focus on Christ. forth, I have to stop looking back. Trying to plow or even walk, for that matter, while I look behind me will only leave everything in a mess. And fifth, I need to build a habit of belief. I have to speak it until I think it without having to think about it, and I have to see it until I believe it as natural as I breathe. I can walk out my extraordinary and impossible dreams when I invest in growing change for my life and in my life. The first thing I need to do, though, is quit pretending. I have to take off my masks, all of them. Masks do nothing but hinder my chance to be all that I am designed to be. Masks only hinder my journey. They never help my journey. And until I take off the masks, I will never grow change. One, masks hide the reality from me. Others still see what is. Two, masks make it difficult to breathe. They hold in the bad air and limit the intake of good air. Three, masks make it tough to see where I'm going and to see what's coming at me. Four, masks limit my movement because I struggle to turn my head and to see where I'm going. And five, masks create a barrier between me and others. And it is all from my side and never theirs. I will only change when I build up the focus to get me to that place of change. It will require that I be honest with myself and that I take off the masks. I have to remove the delusions that I've put up around me, because that's all they really are. Masks are me deluding myself into a reality that doesn't exist. Sometimes it's a reality of my situation. Sometimes it's a reality of circumstances. Sometimes it's a delusion of reality for relationships, but always it's not real. And usually the only person fooled by my masks is me. So until I take the masks off, until I throw away that desire or that compulsion to be something I'm not, I will struggle to become all that I am. I can reach my impossible dreams when I begin walking out the changes that will give wings to those dreams. That kind of change will not happen accidentally. That kind of change will not happen where I am right now. That kind of change will only happen when I get brave enough to remove the masks and reveal the truth. I put on masks to make me feel better, or to allow me to pretend like I'm better off or in a better place, or at least allow me to put up a wall that can allow me to delude myself into believing that others are buying what I'm selling. Change only comes and only becomes a reality when I reach up and remove my masks and be honest enough to walk out that new path. There are 5 points to understand how removing the masks is important. First, masks hide the reality from me, but not from others. My grandmother, my mother, and I mastered the mask of, no, really, I'm fine. Anytime I have felt sick and others would come to check on me, I would put on a smile, sit up a little taller, and provide some entertainment just to prove the point that I was feeling fine. My mom was the same way, even up to her death. I can remember how she looked that last time I visited with her, and I watched when some friends of hers made an unexpected visit while I was still there. Her whole demeanor changed, and she put all of her energy into showing just how much better she felt. She wasn't feeling better, but she put on a mask to prove that she was. Despite all that I know and all that I've watched with my mother and my grandmother, I still find myself putting on that mask when I'm not feeling like I should. I put on that mask to make others think that I feel better than I do. And I know from experience that others see through that mask, but I still find myself doing it. Two, masks make it difficult to breathe. I wore a full mask when I was in elementary school, you know, for Halloween or for a costume party. I was dressing up as a princess, mainly because my mom always wanted me to be a princess instead of playing baseball and football and in the mud. I was usually wrestling with the neighborhood boys and not dressing in pretty pink. But the costume she chose included a plastic pullover mask. Only a few minutes into the night, I recognized that the mask was not something I wanted to wear. The tiny little hole at the mouth was not enough for breathing, and I found that I wore the mask on top of my head more than over my face. Life masks, those masks that I use to put on air or to be more than I am, they also make it difficult to breathe, partly because it chokes me and squeezes me and keeps me from taking the necessary breaths that will allow me to fly. Number three, masks make it tough to see. One of the first dance recitals I was in, the costume included a half mask so that we could still breathe while we danced. The first time through a rehearsal with the mask, we struggled to stay in line and on mark. It was too hard to see through the masks. The instructor fixed the situation by enlarging the holes in the eyes, but we could see better, only we still couldn't see everything. So life masks keep me from seeing everything, mainly because I'm focused on not showing the truth. I struggle to see the things that might be coming at me. I struggle to see the things that might be next to me. I struggle to see right in front of me sometimes. I have to take off my masks to be able to see what's going on. Number four, masks limit my movement. That first dance recital taught me the limiting factor of masks. Even with the enlarged eye holes, I still couldn't see as well as I wanted. So I learned. I just stopped wearing masks altogether after that experience, and I chose to use makeup when I dressed up for Halloween or for costume parties. But life masks also hinder my movement. I can't take the actions I need when I'm pretending to be something I'm not, or when I'm pretending to be somewhere that I'm not. Until I remove the masks, I'm going to struggle to move, because a mask will limit my ability to take that next step. Number five, masks create a barrier between me and others. I taught ballroom dancing when I was in college, and when I was teaching, I would put on stage makeup, really heavy makeup, and then I would slick my hair back into a bun. When I went out after hours, though, when I was going dancing with my colleagues from work or when I was going out with my college roommates, I would take off most of the makeup, I would take my hair down, and I would look like a completely different person. If I happened to run into some of my students while I was out, they wouldn't even recognize me. The makeup and the hair served as a mask that prevented my students from connecting with me, and it was on purpose because we wanted to maintain that student-teacher relationship on the dance floor. But life masks also hinder my relationship. They keep me from being able to make complete connections because the masks keep people from really knowing who I am. Masks keep me from knowing who I am. Masks also hinder me connecting and getting up close and personal with other people because there's that barrier. Masks are masks are masks, whether they're masks from the costume store or they're life masks. When I put on a mask, then I limit my ability to do all that I am designed to do. I limit my ability to walk out all that I am called to be. I hinder my opportunities to connect with others and to grow up the relationships that I know are the foundation for everything that I want to do and everything that is worth doing. The first step to creating change, to growing change for my life, is to be brave enough to take off the masks. I know that the only way to live out my extraordinary life is to walk out change. And I also recognize that change, real and lasting change, can only happen when I become willing to take off the masks that are holding me back from that change. I've been wearing masks long enough, and most of the time, the masks are merely hiding the truth from me. Other people see that I'm not pursuing my dreams. Other people see that I'm not following through with my actions. Other people can see that I am not living up to all that I'm designed to be and all really that I desire to be. My masks hide nothing from other people. They only hide the truth from myself. I have been tearing away at the masks lately. I'm done with the masks. I'm trying to strip down to the naked truth, to see where I really am, and to freely admit that position so that I can grow change that will create the path to my impossible dreams. Putting on masks or throwing up lies that keep me from seeing the truth, they go directly against God's call for my life. Proverbs 26 warns of wearing masks because they limit my connection with God. In Proverbs 28, 24 through 25, from the NIV translation, it says, "Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them." See, wearing masks is deceitful. Masks hide the truth from myself and attempts to hide the truth from others, including God. But He knows. I'm not hiding anything from Him. God warns against people that are trying to hide the truth. It's never a good thing to be on the opposite side of a warning from God. Jesus warns of masks, or at least of those that are wearing masks. He compares people being something they are not to wolves. In Matthew 7:15, from the King James translation, it reads, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." When I put on a mask, when I try to present something other than the real me, then I'm standing in the same place as a false prophet. Whether I'm doing it on purpose or I'm doing it out of habit, not being the real me is putting me in opposition to the good tree. I can't produce good fruit if I am lying, even if the lie is just for me. Paul gets a little more literal with the whole take off the mask issue in 2 Corinthians 3. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about Moses, and you'll remember that Moses wore a mask, or at least a veil, to hide his true nature from the children of Israel, because his true nature glowed from his encounters with God, and it was just too much for most people to look upon, or maybe it was just too scary. But Paul is saying that because of our position with God through the sacrifice of Christ, we now have unveiled faces. We aren't supposed to wear masks. I have no excuse for wearing my masks. When Christ died on that cross, He made a way for me to never have to hide my real self again. I don't know why I put on a mask. For someone so determined to live a bold life, one outside the box and beyond the limits of normal, I sure do try to fool myself into thinking I'm somewhere I'm not, or I'm someone I'm not. Or I have to say I've done that in the past. Because walking out this journey with you is pushing me to be real with myself, to take off the masks and look hard into the mirror and truly see what I can see. It's not as bad as I thought, but it's also not as great as I have imagined possible. I have to keep growing change that will fuel my pursuit of bold purpose. Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 4, talking about the strength and boldness that comes from taking off the masks. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, from the King James Version, Paul writes, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." I want to walk out this journey in truth, in the sight of God, and that means that I have to walk out this journey in truth to myself. I have to take off the masks so that I am in a position to do what needs to be done to become what I'm uniquely called to be. Thank you so much for joining me for this journey into change. I am one step closer to a mask-free life, and that is a freeing place to be. I would love to hear about your journey or your masks or your triumphs. Please feel free to email me with any questions or comments at radio@katherinelang.com. You can also check me out on the website or sign up for the email list over at katherinelang.com. You'll receive a Reflections and Hope column every week. I am Katherine Lang, your rainbows and lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang. Katherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Katherine's website at www.katherinelang.com. That's www.katherinelang.com. Katherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Katherine with queries or questions at contactus@katherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.katherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Katherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.